We're in John chapter 11, so you might take your Bibles and turn there, if you will. I entitled the lesson, Not Unto Death, because that's what Jesus says about Lazarus' sickness, is not unto death. In this chapter, in the beginning, Jesus is trying to get us to think the way he does. He's trying to get his disciples to think the way he does. And I remember my dad wanting me to think the way he does, and I don't, and I didn't. In 1981, March 12th, I walked into their bedroom at night while they were watching television. Daddy was asleep, actually, and I told him I was baptized into Christ. And what? They had left the faith, you know, more than a decade before, and never returned to faithfulness. And I would talk to my dad from time to time. I spent a year in the machine shop, and then I went to college to learn more about the Bible. And Dad would say to me from time to time something that bothers me. I guess it bothers me even now. He would say, Dan, get your head in the real world. And I'm like, Dad, my head is in the real world. The Bible is true. Jesus lives. But Dad thought this world was all there was. And it kind of frustrated me. It still does. Is what we see only this world? Or is there more to this world than what we're seeing? The Bible has shown itself accurate over and over again. And Jesus, here with his disciples, with the death of Lazarus, he wants to get them to view Lazarus' sickness just like he does. Jesus is saying, Dan, get your head in the real world. In the world, how Jesus looks at things. Jesus received a message from a family that he loved, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he was not in the area. He was probably across the Jordan. He was across the Jordan in that Perea area. And when he hears it, he spends 2 days longer than what we might expect. But he has his reason. And it's developed in the story. So how do we put our heads in the real world? How do we look at Jesus? Well, watch him try to teach the apostles to view things as he did. He is a master of language, Jesus is. And he knows when he says something and they don't get it, he means for them to question, to think. Why did he say it that way? John chapter 11, verse 3. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is sick. But Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Let me just stop there for a moment. He sees the end of what he's about to do. He knows what he's about to do. And he says it's something really odd. This sickness is not unto death, but he died. So I scratched my head. On a grammatical scale, whenever you see a not but construction in the Bible, just note the not but construction. Jesus says, do not lay up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven, not but. Does that mean it's wrong to have a bank account? To have a savings account? Have a 401k? Is that wrong? No. The emphasis is lay up treasures in heaven. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, John 6. How does that mean? Do not work for the food? I mean, I don't got to work tomorrow? I don't have to go to work? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, really emphasize on the second part, work for the food that endures to eternal life. So when you see a not but construction, it's not absolute. Do not put on the gold, wearing them dresses and jewelry, Peter will say, 1 Peter 3. I had a guy in Romania just hammer me all the time, but that's what it says, is don't do that. And people do. But put on that quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, Peter will say. What's the point? Is it wrong to put on jewelry and dresses, costly dress? No, that it's not wrong. Just like it's not wrong to lay up treasures on earth, have a checking account. It's not wrong to go to work. But the emphasis, put on that gentle and quiet spirit of the heart. The not but construction. So when Jesus says this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, Lazarus is going to die. And he knows that. But he knows the ultimate end is the Son of God's going to be glorified. That's the ultimate end. That's the emphasis. Now, but the title grabs me, and the title, the statement grabs my attention, still does. But when he heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Now, many years ago, someone pointed out to me the parallel. And there is a parallel. And I want you to, it's very helpful. Your side marginal note may not have this parallel in your Bible, but you might write it in if you write in your Bible or put it in notes. You might put it in your notes. Go to 1 John chapter 5. I'm assuming you know the story of Lazarus generally. We're going to get to it. But I want you to see the parallel in that same phrase. And it's the only time this phrase is used, is prosthanaton. It's to death, unto death. And in 1 John chapter 5, John says this in verse 16. 1 John 5, 16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not unto death. And that's the literal. The word leading in my New American Standard is supply. That's why it's italicized. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not unto death, he shall ask God, and God will for him give life. Now, wait a minute. If he didn't die, why does he need life? The sin separates us from God. That's what sin does. And that separation is a death. But it's temporary. There are a lot of temporary deaths with sin. Verse 16 again, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not unto death, he shall ask God and God will give him life to those who commit sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should make request for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. What does John mean by that? That means some sins you don't die? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying there are some sins that are temporary death. They can be forgiven. But there are some sins that are not going to be. Don't pray for that. Some sins are sins people will get themselves into that lead to death. And the consequences, unless they get out of that sin, are not going to come back from. When I hear somebody get in a marriage, divorce, and remarriage situation where I can't pray for their salvation in the state that they're in because they're not scripturally married. How can I pray to God when I know His will? I'm praying against the will of God. That would not be what's right. So there are sins that the consequences will be death until they come out. But there are other sins for a moment. Someone does something wrong and they confess that to you and you pray. And they're not going to continue in that sin. Not that that sin doesn't lead to a temporary death, because it does. Lazarus' sickness was not unto death, but he died. I hope you see the parallel. It helped me. And so I like the parallel. I think all sins can separate us from God. But there is a sin unto death and a sin not unto death. But some sins, if we don't make the change and correct, we continue in that sin. Well, how can I pray when I know the will of God? I'm praying against the will of God. I don't want to do that. I can pray that person repent from that sin. I can sure pray for that. Now, go back with me to John chapter 11, verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he had heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let's go again to Judea. And again, I've got to emphasize, that's kind of like going to North Korea. Why would you want to leave South Korea and go into North Korea? He said, let's go. Let's go to North Korea. That's a death sentence. Verse 8, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus, you got to know the danger of going into North Korea. They tried to stone him in chapter 8. He escaped. They tried to stone him again in chapter 10, and he escaped. And now you're going right back there again? Get your head in the real world, Jesus says, verse 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Why did he use the word sleep and not death? He knows they're not going to get it. He does. He knows his apostles, when he says asleep, they're not. Would you go into North Korea just to wake somebody up from sleeping? That's a kind of a silly way of thinking about it. So when he says sleep, why does he choose to use the word sleep and not death? You know, recently we've had a lot of deaths in our congregation. At least the people that we know here, we've had a lot of people pass away. I like to look at death the way Jesus looks at death. They're just asleep. That's all they are. And he's come to wake us out of sleep. I love Jesus' world. That is the real world. You mean this world? There are some people that will rise from the dead? Is this the kind of world we're living in? And the answer to that is yes. Now, you may have not have seen it, but how many in this room have seen rock fall from the sky on a clear day? But you believe in meteorites, although you've never seen it. It's rare. It doesn't happen very often. It took the science community... It took a science community, especially over there in France, a lot for them to finally believe once in a while rock will fall from the sky on a clear day. They had 300 witnesses when they saw the event. And they began to realize, well, maybe there's something to this. Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he uses the word sleep. Verse 12, the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. That's an interesting statement. I'm glad I wasn't there. That you might believe. That's why John writes the book. If Jesus had left immediately when he heard word, he might have arrived before he died. He could have done that. Pulled an all-nighter. Here, pull all-nighter. I do once in a while, but not like I used to. They could have made it there in time. But he chose not to. He chose to arrive when Lazarus was in the tomb 4 days after he had already seen corruption. Psalms 16, verse 8. Martha will try to stop Jesus in a moment and say, my brother stinks. He's already in putrefaction. That smell has already begun to happen. He is undergoing decay. In contrast to the body of Jesus, who was raised the third day, and the Holy One didn't see or experience corruption. I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake, that you may believe. Because he waited 2 days, and they arrived now on the fourth day, and when he calls Lazarus from the tomb, it's obvious to everybody that there was a dead man, the tomb was sealed, nobody was going to the tomb anymore, and Christ will raise him from the dead. If you look into the history of the Jews and death, and I have some slides, and I'll have to wait till next Sunday to go through them. We know a great deal about the burial practices of the Jews in the first century. They have left ossuaries for us, and their burial practices we know extensively about. Now, the point I'm trying to make is Jesus on purpose waited before calling Lazarus from the dead. On purpose. And he's glad. Why? So that you might believe. That's a theme I want to hit again next week, because didn't they already believe? Didn't the apostles already believe? They had been walking with Jesus from John chapter 1 before he did a miracle. And then he saw the water to wine. And they believed. And they've been believing the whole time. And Martha will confess her belief. And Mary will confess her belief. But is there room in your heart this morning to believe more than you do right now? And that's the point of raising Lazarus from the dead. Not that they didn't believe at all, but they might believe more. And as much difficulty we give with Thomas, I'm so glad Thomas speaks up. I would have loved just to listen to the conversations of the apostles. But verse 16, Thomas says again, therefore Thomas said, Thomas, who is called Didymus, that means the word twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. If he's going to go into North Korea and die, then I'm going to go die with him. There's a part of me that, Thomas, haven't you seen Jesus get out of being killed in Luke 4 and in John 10 and in John 8? He escaped all those times. Why do you think he's not going to escape this time? On one hand, he's a doubter. On the other hand, I appreciate Thomas. I'd rather die with Jesus than to continue living without him. Thomas, to me, expresses a great deal of love, faith, and courage. That if he's going to die, I'd just rather go die with him. If Jesus would head into North Korea, would you go with him? North Korea will not be the place I would want to be. But if I was with Jesus, and if he perishes, that's where I want to perish too. And isn't that the story of Ruth with Naomi? That where you die, there I'll die, and there I'll be buried, because I'm with you. I sure hope this morning you feel that way towards Jesus. That you live I want him to live with me and in me. And if he goes to die, there I'll die and there I'll be buried. Will you be buried this morning with Christ? Will you keep him ever nigh? Will you live where he lives, and where he dies, will you die? Are you sharing your life with Christ? Do you have him on the inside? Does he live with you? I hope you live like Jesus lived and put your mind, get your head, my head, in the real world. For in a few moments, Lazarus will be raised from the dead. And in a few moments, Harold is going to come back from the grave too. And the one who raised Lazarus is going to raise our friend Harold too. That is the real world. If you're ready to put your faith in Christ and obey the gospel as you understand, you're willing to repent from sin, you're willing to believe in Jesus, to follow his teaching, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, to die in the baptism and come up again walking with Jesus, we bid you come while we stand and while we sing.